Remember when I said I was going to have a plan for this show and there were going to be topics and it was going to be so scripted and we were going to know? I never said that. And there's a reason why I never said that. It's because this life is a chaotic disaster and you have to be willing to just script it and rip it, Chris Summers, and go with the topics as they come. Am I right?
You're right. What's up, Jamie Erdalian? How we doing?
I'm great. New nickname every week. It really fired me up last week when I watched it back and you called me Erdzy. I really felt like a brohan just for a second. Because like
Target
I seek
coined.
your approval.
Target coined Halloweenies, by the way.
Dang it.
Yeah, they stole it right out from underneath us.
Come on,
I like it.
Halloweenies.
I think it sticks. How you doing?
I'm fine now that it's Friday. I am supposed to say better now that I'm talking to you, which is mostly true. And I am, just kind of heavy and weird, which we texted about earlier today.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because, well, not funny, but the vibe from the beginning of the week, listening to the show, and then obviously, I mean, you know what, I will say this about you as a professional, and I applaud it. You are very raw with this show, and I think that was a bit of a surprise for me. And I don't know if everybody else expected that or not, but what you see is what you get. This is the true Jamie. I don't think you're holding back anything. So kudos to you to being as raw as one can be, especially somebody with a TV personality and the resume that you have. So it's been good. I've gotten to know you a lot better, having not been on the show for every single time, but just listening, and it's great. I think it's
Dude,
really good
thank
stuff.
you.
I think it offers a different perspective. So if I were to offer anything to anybody who actually listens to the show consistently, or even if it's your first time, this is I applaud you.
Dude, thank
Very
you.
true to self. Yeah, you're welcome.
I
All
really
right.
appreciate that. Oh man, are you okay? We can do
Yeah,
this. We can be
it's
super
Crack It
kind and
Friday. I
genuine
get
with
so
each
excited.
other.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
I
What do you got today? I always
have
get so
weekend
excited.
vibes. Weekend vibes with
Okay.
my good buddy, Coronado Brewing Company, which has to be in Coronado, yes, which is island off of San Diego. And this is my favorite beer that I have discovered living in California. It has, little cute little taglines on it in the back that says "Own the weekend," and I
What does
shall
that mean?
own the
Own the
weekend.
weekend.
Own the
How was your
weekend.
weekend?
I
Oh,
owned
I
it. I
owned the
pwned it.
weekend.
And then stoked on
You
beer.
what?
Pwned. I think that's like a surfing thing. Pwn.
Pwned or pond?
Pwned. Like put a P in front of
Pwn?
owned. Yeah, I don't
Okay.
know.
My brother's a big guy. Well, he was at one point a big video gamer, and
Yeah.
pond, I think, was
Oh,
Pawn
pond.
Newbies. Pawn Newbies. All right, so it's not it. It's different.
No,
That's
different than
what I
that.
thought. Yeah, pwned.
Yeah, so, oh, wait, you're gonna die. You're gonna love this. Bursting with tropical dankness. What a word. This beer is everything you want from a San Diego style IPA. It's jam-packed with hop fruitiness and refreshingly dry, just like us. Crack one open and get ready to feel those weekend vibes. God, don't mind if I do. What do you got today?
Own the weekend. I got a new one. I've never seen this. A lot of my beer purchases, if it's not something I've had before, is going to be based off label. And War Pigs Brewing Company. I've
Foggy
never heard of
Geezer?
this. Foggy Geezer IPA. Sold me on these citrus and tropical hop varieties. Yeah, I like the black on black. I thought it was
Hippity
pretty
hop.
cool. It's
I
got kind
don't
of
think
a.
I've ever seen that out of a beer can. I would have done the same thing, black on black.
Same. And then it's got kind of a Magic the Gathering dude on the back, which I'm assuming he's the Foggy Geezer. But either way, I think it'll be good. It's kind of unfair. You've already had that one. So give us your honest
That's
opinion. Are you
true.
owning the weekend?
I'm gonna do something with my weekend. No, I feel like I owned last weekend with the Boise Halloween traveling. Traveling with kids
Okay.
as I started the week off saying should be an Olympic sport and you know it better than most,
Correct.
but like and now this weekend I actually don't want to own anything. I just want to kind of lay low.
You're about to own the
Lay
weekend, though. I'm
low.
excited for you.
Thank you so much.
All
Are
right.
you how many cans of that is
Ooh.
before you feel like a foggy geezer?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know, but this is really good. It's actually surprisingly more fresh forward.
Oh, fresh
It like
forward.
it's refreshing. It's good. It's kind of like Guinness. You know how you look at Guinness, you're like, okay, that's either a stomach ache or you're just gonna feel like a bag of potatoes afterwards. You don't. It's actually really
Yeah.
clean and crisp and under
Yep.
control.
I like to pride myself in the fact that I've only had Guinness in Ireland, and it's going to stay that way.
That's so
Because
exciting
I'm
for you
annoying like
and nobody else that's listening or
that.
here talking to you right now.
Cares or judged that sentence whatsoever.
You didn't
This
have to get so
is.
dressed up today, by the way.
You know what I actually realized?
But
I'm gonna
she's
let that.
casual. Are you wearing Crocs right now?
I'm
I
not wearing
guarantee you
Crocs,
wear
but I am wearing rainbow
Crocs and
striped socks
socks.
and green
Ah.
sweatpants. I just keep
Just
slinking
a
further into my chair.
big old knee right in the camera,
Big old
too.
knee, right in the right.
Big
So
old
actually,
knee.
you'll laugh at this. One day I was in here doing this by myself, and which is becoming like alarmingly way too easy for me to do. I need more friends on the show. And I had my this camera on the YouTube on the Red Square, and then I also when I'm up by myself because I don't have somebody else coming in on the show, I can do the other the social the one we talk about the TT because you're not supposed to like say like other. I've heard other. Social brands, you get booted or something, whatever. Anyways, I was live on both and my knee was up like this because this is how I sit, this is how I drive a car. I know it's super unsafe. Like, don't come for me. It's how I do it. And I had my leg up and this person was like, weird angle. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. And immediately I was like, and the knee is down. My bad. My bad.
Do you still get this might be a question that I think everybody might be interested in. Do
Oh
you
no.
still get that nervous like gut like kind of the butterflies that like okay, live now, like here we go? Or is it just you kind of forget you're on TV?
On this or on Good Morning Football?
Well, we know you treat this like a confessional of a reality show. But when you're on TV with Sirmanthi Thiceps, are you like, oh crap, here we go?
No, the only time I feel like that is on the rare occasion where, because it's my job to pull from what the guys say and just like kind of blend it all together, get us to a commercial, get us in and out of things creatively, make connections of talking points, and then just make it seamless, make it flow, make it easy. If I truly can sense conversationally that somebody is winding down in their thought and I haven't been listening, which doesn't happen a lot, but like sometimes I do tune out. I have to say, like, Jamie, lock the F in right now because you're about to have to pull this thing all together and you haven't been listening, girl. So if you ever hear me say, like, oh, awesome, or like, wow, that's a cool take, or nice, I totally am into that. I for sure wasn't listening and I'm just trying to
You
like
said
buy.
that every single time I've been on this show.
I haven't.
Oh, I all right, so that's good. That's good insider information because I think a lot
Yeah.
of people are going to start to look for that too.
Yeah, my
I
eyes
think it'll
kind of
be
glaze
good.
over. My eyes kind of glaze over, and I and mostly it doesn't happen with my regulars, as you say, Manti Thiceps and Kyle. It's with, in the off season we have former or current players come on, and they're essentially like trying TV out, and some are better than others, let's just say. And so when
Sure.
I can get a sense that like maybe this guy like doesn't have it, I'm kind of like, oh man, I'm bored of this person's
Are you
like.
drag well, are you dragging him or her up? Or are you kind
I'm
of just like,
trying.
eh?
I always do the life raft. I try to meet them where it seems like they would succeed on the show that day. But if a person is like too heavy of a lift, then it's not going to have longevity, if that makes
Got it.
sense. So
It does.
if you can tell like somebody's going to have like I heard actually I learned something once from a guy that I worked with early in my career who does the color commentary for the Bruins, Andy Brickley. Legendary hockey guy in Boston. And he told me that when he auditioned for his, I don't know, I think he's still doing the job in Boston in like the early 90s, he realized that if you can watch a play and then a replay of the same play unfold three times, if you can't say three different observations about that play, then you shouldn't be doing TV. If you find
Oh,
yourself
fascinating.
saying the same thing over and over and over again, then what are we doing here? You have to be able to like come up with original thoughts, especially if you like, if as the color commentator, as what is supposed to be the expert on the actual game, if you just find yourself saying like, wow, look at that right wing guy, right winger coming up the side. Oh, and really hone in on the right winger. And like, you just can't come up with something else as the play develops, then like, you got to find somebody else to do the job. Did you like my
Or
hockey vernacular there? It
yeah,
really
crushed
came
it.
out smoothly.
Crushed it. Or fake it till you make it, with the assumption that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you can, I mean, to be honest, I would imagine that there are certain things that a general population of the viewers are going to be like, oh yeah, of course, and have no idea. So maybe that's a skill in it of itself.
Well, there's a lot of skills to it in general, from a former player perspective, which that I observe, which is there is just someone who's having amazing thoughts and maybe they need help getting them out. They need help with the sure. delivery, or, you know, they go on, they drone on and on for 4 minutes. And we're like, hey guy, we got to get this down to 45 seconds or else you're going to lose people. Then there's people who look great on TV. Like, oh man, this person is made for it. They know where the cameras are. They know where this is. And they, you don't have, don't care what they say. Cause it's so just boring.
A dud.
Just an yeah. absolute dud. And so you kind
last
of
question.
Go.
I was going to say last question moving forward. Is Anchorman considered Bible for you guys? The same thing could be said for Happy Gilmore. And I'm not trying to offend anybody that's in the industry full time, but try Wait. Playing a round of golf without quoting one thing from Happy Gilmore. It is damn near impossible.
I'm going to tell you a social pet peeve that I have that I'm about to engage in, which is I personally despise the conversation ender that people do when you say, like, a very popular movie. Happy Gilmore is like a top 20, just commonly popular movie. Sure. And somebody immediately, in my opinion, makes the conversation about them by saying what I'm about to say, which is I think I've seen it once. I don't know if I've seen it to the point where, A, I'm quoting it. Certainly not. Barely can recognize a quote. Actually, when I was in Ireland in September, I was at this golf course. The Steelers were practicing there, and I was allowed to go, like, putt to do, like, something for a commercial break. And the producer that was with me was like, just quote Happy Gilmore. And I was like, that's like asking me to speak Greek. Like, I don't just have it off the top of my head. The only one I know once he said it was the get in your home. And that's like, that one's so basic, it feels like even. So I don't know it. Anyways, I hate when people do that because it does what you just did, which is you're like, I don't know what to do with this now. You just said you haven't seen Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. I've started to apologize for people immediately when they've asked about certain movies. Or if you say something like, hey, have you seen this movie? They're like, no. It's like, okay, immediately move on. The conversation is...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? Are you serious? Come on. You got to watch it. Okay. You know what? Actually, let's sit and start watching on my phone.
You sound like every person that's ever asked me, you know what Scarface? I'm like, I've never seen it. Like, oh.
You know what? This is the anti-Scarface show. Sorry. I've never seen it either.
All right. We're in good company. I'm in good company.
Very okay, good. But it's interesting you asked me all these questions because I know you yourself in your hockey playing days. We're donating a lot of money to the Dollar Jar today. Let's just leave it at that.
Right. Open fund today.
Let me tell you something really quick because the chat is actually very lively today. Hello to everybody in the chat. Mm. One thing is coming up on the show. You got to watch it. I'll send it to you on the old IG. But we were on the show today, and for those of you who are watching, what's really cool about Chris is his family visited us this summer, and what a dedicated friend and professional you are. You came with me one morning to Good Morning Football, to my place of employment. You got in the car with me at 3:05. You were such a trooper. You were very engaged. You met everybody, and you were your piece. It was so cute. But you got to see a lot of good behind the scenes things. Well, so when I tell you this story, you'll just understand it more. So there was a really bad Thursday night football game on last night. I don't know if you caught it. It was Broncos Raiders. It was 10-7 final score. And frankly, that final score was set. I always do this. Like when it was set like 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So like, did you even have to watch? Like, so it was really bad. There was this person that Kyle found in the highlight where he was a Broncos fan, and he had taken off his boot, like his work boot, and he was banging it on the he was in the front row, like the stanchion of the stadium, just relentless banging of the boot. And we were just going for like 5 minutes on Boot Man. We just called him Boot Man. This was in like the first 10 minutes of the show. Our producers that you now know with that control room, they found the guy in the next hour. And we had him on Good Morning Football 60 minutes after we were like, this guy's crazy. This guy's awesome. What's this guy's story? He had like mutton chop beard. He looked, so we get him on the show and we're like, Boot Man! We all lose our minds. And he was clearly annoyed that he was even able to be found that easily. And like how it's done, I still, is like remarkable story in and of itself. But we had him on the show and we interviewed him for like 7 minutes. And part of which is because the game was so bad. And also because our show is so flexible and fun. And that's the kind of thing that we highlight, was like just a fan like banging his boot, which I'm sure is a commonplace at a hockey game.
Boot Man. And he boot was annoyed man. That he was found?
Kind of. He seemed a little alarmed, but he also was kind of playing into the bit that, like, I can't believe how bad the game was, that this is what you're talking about. Because he's a Broncos fan. He's like, I was doing that with my boot because the offense has been driving us crazy. And then I asked this question, which was like, did you bring the boot in with you, or is that your boot that you took off your foot? And he had a great comeback. He was like, I can't believe you think I would bring a boot into the stadium. Like, the guy was all, he looked like, just visualize this, he looked like a Colorado Dos Equis guy. the beer, like the old man beer that
Got it.
says like,
Yeah.
yeah, but like put mutton chops on him and like a cowboy hat. And he honestly was standing like amongst the mountains. Like he was at work behind with like a tractor trailer behind him with wood, with firewood.
How many foggy war pigs deep? What was this called? Foggy geezers. Was he? Did he talk about that at all?
That's he. I bet
Yeah,
later
so
he
good.
would become a foggy geezer. Like that guy, he was awesome, this guy. Anywho, that was from this morning. Secondly, what I was going to tell you was it's interesting when you ask me questions like this because I know you yourself thought about a career in the media after the sport playing, but you didn't engage in that. Why is that?
You talked me out of it
No, I didn't.
immediately.
No,
No, you
I
didn't.
didn't.
To be honest, it was I don't know. It was something that I always thought I wanted to do. I never had an opportunity. Like I'd always touched on it a little bit. We did some goofy stuff when I was at school.
Wait, let me stop you right there.
Anytime.
TV production rule for anybody who's first time listener, reset how many years playing and whatnot. Just a 10-second little byline. Go.
4 years of Michigan, 10 years pro between Phoenix Coyotes, their AHL program, New York Rangers, their AHL program for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then 1 year in Germany probably would have been four, but we just got stopped by COVID, so that's why I'm here now. Anywho, anytime there was somebody, it was funny because now, to your point, when you're talking about players coming in, it was kind of like poo-pooed. Like it wasn't like Twitter, for instance. So Bissonnette was one of the first guys. He was my first roommate when I got called up to
Paul
Phoenix.
Bissonnette.
He was, yeah, so he was one of the guys that he was always on Twitter. And for everybody else, I mean, he was notorious for taking fans' comments and then flipping it on them. And then he would go back and forth. The publicity people and the marketing people for Phoenix hated it for the
Oh, that's
longest time because he
hilarious.
had to, well, he had to be very careful at what he said because it was a direct representation of obviously the
Or if he
team.
did say something, the
And
PR people would be like, "Oh my God, Bissonnette, what are you
yes, so
doing?" Yeah, and they had to like
yes.
answer to it. Yeah.
But lo and behold, the guy's made an absolute killing and continues to crush it. And he was one of, I mean, to be honest, he was the only hockey guy doing that.
Yeah.
Nobody else would do it because it was kind of like, if you were doing it, it was kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. Knock it
Yep.
off. I think the hockey culture then, and maybe to a degree now, I think a lot of the younger guys that grew up with it are more accustomed to it. But guys that I graduated with, guys that I was playing with, I mean, you would follow guys. You had a Twitter account. But nobody was, everybody did the Happy Memorial Day. Here's to the soldiers. Hey, you know, it's 4th of July, celebrate America, whatever, like the very cliche posts.
Or like retweet your
But
alma mater, or like if they won a game or something like
yes,
that.
yeah, exactly. Nobody was doing what Biz has done. And he would tell us in the locker room too. He's like, guys, I'm preparing for my next career. And everybody, you see some of the older guys too, because especially on Phoenix, we had an older team. So everybody was kind of like, all right, dude, whatever. Just don't name names kind of thing and keep the stories appropriate. And to his credit, he's done a phenomenal job. I think he's one of the best personalities, especially on TBS and TNT for the panel. I mean, he brings a different side to the sport that I think a lot of people were really craving. It wasn't that vanilla, here's what they did during the second period, here's what they need to do during the third. So anyways, back to kind of that. So it really, I always wanted to do it. But it's
Because you
just
have the
I don't know
personality
what
for it, but it wasn't like a welcomed thing.
maybe yeah I don't know and it just is when I was done playing it was kind of one of those things too. It's like, well, now what? And the immediate thing was, I mean, obviously the obvious choice was real estate, so I jumped into real estate immediately after.
The man can sell a house.
Started slinging some houses. But yeah, it's always something. Like I love doing this stuff. I think when you approached me about this, I was like, I would love to, absolutely love to. So no, I think I don't know. You tell me, is there something that we should be doing or something that could be further?
Well,
But
one thing that I know from your era of playing, because I we have covered the fact that I was around, not you, but those guys, like in that early 20 teens, right around the 2010s and then into the 20 teens, was social media was getting was beginning to grow, obviously, but media coverage of the of sports was still very traditional. And what my observation was, and this is a little bit hindsight is 2020, but I do feel like any athlete that was interested in media or television, a couple of things were tricky for them. I was their like peer closest in age, right? Like there's a bunch of forgive old men that work in television. They're not going to go and want to talk to them or pick their brain about TV. So naturally, players would want to come and ask me about like TV. Immediately, I always observed like guys would get made fun of, poke fun of, like, oh, you're kissing their ass, you're flirting, you're like trying to like, whatever, like get into the business for the wrong reasons, whatever, which I felt sad for them. That was annoying for me. It was like all of the above. But now what I found super fascinating is I think someone told me the NFL runs this thing called the Broadcast Boot Camp. And years ago, when it first started, they would have to pay dudes to come to the broadcast boot camp. They would pay guys to show up in LA. All the TV networks would fly executives in, and they would put them through, you know, a simulated game broadcast, a studio show, a this or that. They would have to pay the guy. Now they're like considering expanding it to 2 weekends probably, and they can't
Wow.
like they can't get rid of the guys. It's former players, it's current players. If you know the name Greg Olson, who works on the Fox crew,
Yeah.
the number two Fox crew, he reminded me, I just did a game, that game with him in Dublin. He reminded me that he actually called his first game in the booth for Fox on a bye week when he was a current player, which is like, there are certain things that TV networks will do or that the NFL will allow happen, and which is like, that's unheard of. And no one's done it since. And I frankly can't remember anybody before him doing it. So it's amazing what it's become in terms of athletes kind of understanding what they have. The next layer to it is all this wild, like athletes having their own media entities, you know, like the like LeBron James having the show that he's on, that he's like the executive producer of and whatnot. So it's I'm bummed for people, for guys like you, honestly, that we're kind of in this era of like, hey, focus on what you're doing now. Like it was looked down upon, it seemed like, to put any effort or thought into like the next layer, especially if it was like media related.
And to be clear, it wasn't anything like, oh, I should really start thinking about my next career. I was always thinking about my next career because I never thought I'd even play college hockey. So,
Really?
oh no, it was, I didn't grow up. My family didn't play hockey.
Were
My
you like
younger
a
brother played
walk-on at
hockey. He was a
Michigan?
goalie. No, it was, I played the AAA circuit in Detroit area, but ignorance is bliss, I think, to a degree. My parents weren't overly, not, I shouldn't say involved, but politically involved. You know,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
hear
yeah.
those stories like, well, if you come to this team, well, you know, we'll bring this guy over, that kind of thing. So everything was just kind of fun. So I think I was very fortunate to have the parents that I had. I don't think I would have been where I am today or the career that I had without, obviously without them. So not to get in too big of a tangent of parenting, but anyways, I digress. The other part of it too was it was also a situation where it was kind of open to it, but kind of not selfishly, but in my opinion, the guys that were on TV were either ex or soon to be Hall of Famers or already Hall of Famers. So they throw the stats up. They're like, this guy played in the NHL for 42 years. It's like, oh my
Like
gosh,
that
how do I
was the
compete with that?
qualifier.
Correct. Or to your like the route that you took where you knew what you wanted to do, and that was gung ho. I'm in broadcasting school. I'm going to do this. This is how I'm going to do it. So now it's to what you were just talking about. Now it's weird because now everybody has access to literally create their own show if they have an email address and they sign up for YouTube with a decent camera.
Well, I'm sure this is happening in the NHL, but I know in the NFL in particular, there are guys on that went to college together at Alabama, which is practically the Michigan of college football,
Ooh,
that play on different
Michigan's the
teams.
Michigan football.
Right, my bad.
We got you. Sure. Yeah.
Edit that part out for the person that I'm married to. They play like
Well said.
there's a kid that plays for the Lions and a kid that plays for the Broncos, and they have a podcast together.
Which is great because that's what people want to hear. They want to
Yes.
hear, I think they want to see the other side of Jamie. And I think that's the, to my point earlier, that's the attraction of this show. It's, I think I told you earlier, I've made the mistake of not mistake, but I started reading some of the comments on your
Don't do
TikTok.
that. Don't do that.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. People are ruthless. But also, there was one guy that was like, stick to football. It's like, okay, dude.
Actually, the first time
Plus,
that's ever been said to me.
I was like, you gotta be, just change the channel, man. Like, you're not wanted, you're not needed, just go away.
Yeah. I actually got into it with this
But
guy on Facebook that said something along those lines that was like,
Facebook?
Because Meta is the parent company to Instagram and Facebook, when I post things
Sure.
to Instagram, it spits onto a Facebook that I barely
Okay.
check in on. And it's like good to have. I
Okay.
actually should check in on it more. I have like a pretty good following there, but I occasionally just make sure we're on the up and up over there. And I went, and this guy was like, I think it was in my sweatpants of the day run, and he was like, why does this girl keep doing this? She thinks she's funny. And I literally responded first person. I was like, you understand that you don't have to be here. Like,
Yeah.
you're choosing
Click.
to watch. Go. I
Click.
actually
Yeah.
said, like, I think there's an unfollow button, and I think it's at the top because this isn't
How about
stopping.
it?
So I should see yourself out. No, the feedback and the positive reinforcement of you engaging with the medias is appreciated. And I'm happy to be an exit off the highway for you in this journey that I feel like you are destined to do, honestly, for as long as I've known you. In in your playing career and whatnot, and just you as a person, like this is just like chef's kiss, perfect on a Friday. Now that being said, it was a weird show to do by myself. Actually, it wasn't a weird show to do by myself yesterday. It probably was best done by myself. If I had had somebody else, it would have been maybe uncomfortable for them. So it was best done by myself. But I know you watched, and I know it probably resonated with you for like a bunch of different reasons. But most specifically, and perhaps most topically, is the fact that you can relate in terms of being able to put yourself back onto a team or in a locker room, and you play a game, and 2 days later, you have a teammate who is in crisis, is in mental health crisis, and now this teammate is no longer here. And I'm just wondering when you found this out yesterday and how it made you feel, and maybe like a couple of different stops for you along the way that you went through yesterday processing this news that this NFL player ended his life because of his mental health crisis.
Sure, and I want to be very clear that I didn't know this player. I did very limited research on it, unfortunately. I got the highlights, I got the cliff notes of kind of what happened and what went down. And obviously, it's extremely unfortunate. But if I were to give anybody that has a problem with this or is like, well, he's an athlete, he was making millions of dollars, he had all these things going for him, this shouldn't be an issue. I want to take a second and make sure that these people understand his situation. And again, I'm not putting myself in his shoes, but as a former athlete, I think it's important to understand for the people that aren't in it. And yes, it is very, everybody that's played the sport, that's played at a high level and have had success to whatever degree, it's very important to understand that when you're in that position, your whole world is football or hockey or whatever it is. So every single day, and it's not just games, it's every practice, you are being judged, you are being watched. There is constant weight on your shoulders. And I think that's part of it because I think the whole iron sharpens iron. You're constantly being put into the fire of becoming a better player every single day. The NFL wouldn't be the NFL without that pressure. And it's unfortunate too because sometimes people can't handle it, or they don't know how to handle it, or they don't know where to get help if they need help. So anytime that people see, if you, it's one of those like if you see something, say something, or if you need help, get help. And I'm so glad that that stigma of getting help has been, in my opinion, I don't know if it's me getting older, has been slowly peeled back. And it's unfortunate that it's not just ripped apart. I think it's still slowly being peeled back. And it's hard for these guys that it's considered weakness to go ask for help. And one of the, I think the best things that I've had, well, I guess one of the most important things that I've had since I was done playing, every day you have to understand you show up in the locker room, you've got in hockey, there's 25 to 30 guys that are all like-minded. We're all in it together to a degree, but you're going through similar stuff. So you have that ability to talk about stuff. You have that ability to be vulnerable. And one thing that I've been so fortunate to have is I've got a workout group now that we work out at least as a group, at least 3 days a week. We work out every day at 6 a.m. And we've got guys that have really opened my eyes to be like, hey guys, you can be vulnerable. Like you can have that opportunity to discuss, you know. That's the other thing. Like everybody has stuff going on. I saw a quote. I don't even know what it was on. I think it was a TikTok video. He was like, the next time you get cut off in traffic, put yourself in a frame of mind that that person cut you off because they're on their way to the hospital for an emergency. And that little tidbit of just reframing the situation completely changes your mindset. So understand that everybody's going through something. It might not even have been football. We don't know. And I don't know if we'll ever know. But it's, to be honest, not my business. If I were to say anything about this particular situation, it's for everybody that's watching and that everybody is a fan of football, understand that these guys have issues too. Nobody is perfect. These guys are not in a situation getting paid millions of dollars that everything should be rainbows and sunshine. I mean, they've got stuff. Who knows? It could have been something he was dealing with from his childhood. It could have been something that happened that day. They're not perfect humans. But let's be a little bit more sympathetic to the fact that these guys are human and they're still going through real-world stuff. They put a jersey on and they play an amazing sport and have an amazing opportunity. Guess what? That doesn't last forever. So that would be my one thing. Let's be a little bit more sympathetic, more eye-opening to understanding that we are all human. We're all in this world together and we all got to get along to some degree. So yeah, I was when you were explaining that, it kind of touched a little heart note for me. It's tough. It's really tough.
It's really tough. Thank you for saying all that. I think it's important specifically for you're removed from the game, but you're not that old. And I think it's important that what you just said kind of continues to get younger and younger, and you need people, what you just said, to be able to say that inside the locker room actively. And I feel like the closer we get to the age of the player, then we're getting somewhere with that. A couple of things about what you just said, that it his anyone's mental health challenges can be exacerbated, you said, like by anything. And I think something that resonated so fiercely with me yesterday and this week, frankly, thinking about this young man's life, which, by the way, he went to Western Michigan. He was from, like, is it Wyoming, Michigan? Is that like near?
Kalamazoo. No,
He's
Kalamazoo.
from
Yeah. So it's about
Kalamazee.
an hour south from where I'm at. Yeah. Oh, where's he from? I don't know where he's from.
Well, no, Western's in
But he
Kalamazoo,
did go to
but is there
Western.
a like Wyoming, Michigan? Like, I know that's like a weird way to say it, but like,
Wyoming's 15 minutes south of where I'm at right now.
yeah, that's where he's from. And so his story is important, of course, but how people relate to, honestly, I know this word gets overused, but I think it's important, the stigma behind him being a professional athlete and going through this crisis is, frankly, I think what needs to be addressed like repeatedly. And it kind of the same way that I know you've, as a dad of daughters and just kids in general, I know you've heard this old adage, this new adage actually, which is like, no can be a one word answer, essentially. Like previously, girls or women in particular used to have to be like, no, and then you have to give your excuse as to why you didn't want to engage in something, why you didn't want to participate, why you didn't, whatever. This thing, no, is a one word answer. Is that the same thing can be say, I am not okay, can just be the entry point for any like mental health conversation. And I think the more men and athletes, frankly, let's just call it what it is, have to become more comfortable with saying things like that, is a practiced mechanism. So what you just brought up, that it took you as a retired athlete to enter into this workout group amongst peers, amongst people that you work out with, and you're finally able to say like, oh man, something's going on, this, that. When you were a player, how frequently did that happen for somebody to say like, hey, I'm not okay about X, Y, or Z. I'm not doing okay with this. I have to think very rarely that ever happened.
Extreme, it hardly ever happened. It hardly ever happens. And I mean, it's a, you would get the rare case where the guys were good, but I remember, I will never forget this. I had an assistant coach. It was a guy that he had played in the NHL for many years. He came down and I was probably my second or third year of playing. He pulled me, he's like, you would never tell them that you are hurt. Never tell them that you are hurt. And he meant physically, obviously. But I think that's part of it. I think if you're struggling in your personal life, they expect you, and I think this is just an assumption, they expect you to put that to the side and be able to perform, which it may be fair, but at the same time, if you're not getting help outside of that or wait, you're only at the rink in the stadium for 4 or 5 hours a day. If you're not getting right for yourself, then that is a massive, massive problem because then it just compounds, right? It's never just a quick fix and then it's over and done with. The majority of what guys, I think, and this is, we're assuming here, or I'm assuming here that it's bigger underlying issues than just a simple quick fix. So just the ability to talk about it and then again understand that everybody's got their stuff. Everybody's got some sort of baggage, whatever it is. And just being a little bit more sympathetic to that, I think, is the only thing.
It's really tricky with athletes, I think, because in a way that, these schools and programs and teams oftentimes brag about the construction of their new weight room. And they do that because of how important it is for strength and muscle development in order to be like a high level athlete competing on these teams. The same way that they would tell you, like, if you get one more rep, like on the bench press or at the squat rack, like you are building muscle. It might suck, it might hurt, but you are building muscle. You cannot apply that logic to like just keep going, just keep pushing when your brain is at odds against your soul. And I can only make these connections between what I've watched my sister go through and then also what I deal with every day with professional athletes. And I cannot fathom, honestly. It has been quite the week, quite the 24 hours for me to think of those two things that I've witnessed in one in my personal life and in my family, and thinking applying it to like all of the wonderful men that I've worked with in my career, and putting those two together, putting what has my sister has gone through and putting that on an athlete. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like the stuff that she has had to treat, be held herself accountable for, the treatment she's had to seek out, the honesty that she's had to have with a lot of people and herself. That's so much work. And these athletes are already putting in physical work. It's actually an insane ask when you think of it.
It is, but and you brought up a good point with the workouts too. I want to be clear. I think there's a distinction and a separation between the two, but therein lies the difficult part is being able to separate those. As an athlete, you're told to work through the pain. You're told to work through just the one more rep, like you said. You're told to just a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. So really the idea of never being satisfied is what drives a lot of great players to become great players. Is there's never that they never get that itch scratched. But if it is a mental issue and it is a personal issue, then it needs to be addressed. But how do you separate that? So that's, I mean, that's probably the billion-dollar question that we need to maybe discover or put more, shed more light on, because clearly something was going on, right? This is those situations don't just happen on a whim. So, and I think the NHL during my time playing did a phenomenal job. I think it was called the red line or the hotline or something. You could call a number and it was 100% confidential. It was 100% taken care of. You would talk to somebody. I don't know if guys ever used it. It was never talked about, but you'd like to think that at some point guys would use it. So I think professional sports are doing the right thing behind the scenes. And I guarantee that's never talked about in the media. But I think as a culture, as a sports culture, it needs to be highlighted a little bit more because it's vitally important. It's these guys aren't going to play football the rest of their lives.
Well, and just like, a couple of things. Isn't there something in hockey specifically? It's like Bell, the Bell, isn't that like a Canadian media company and they have like a mental health day? I always think of this in like January and February. I remember everybody starts tweeting about it, which is so, it goes beyond so much more than just like, oh, I put my little post out on social media, but I know hockey is really good about it. But what you said about guys just having to acknowledge it and bring it to the forefront, it also takes an incredible awareness. And I think, and I don't mean to offend you and any athlete listening, but what you guys have to go through about with your body to become like peak anything physically in your skill set and your whatever, it can become a very self-centered pathway. Like I'm thinking about what I need to do to make sure my body's right, to make sure my recovery's accurate, to make sure my sleep is this, that, whatever. I have to imagine that is hard then if you are trying to require or ask of somebody to be like, but think outside yourself, but check on other people. Like how much is it, or does that just come inherently with being in a locker room and in a team, on a team?
What do you mean, just like helping guys out?
Yeah, like checking on them.
Yeah, I think it's kind of at the back of your mind because everything is so sport forward, or I guess situational forward. Like, how was practice? How was the game? I mean, you're getting enough grief from the coaching staff. Anytime there was a video session, everybody's just sitting, especially if we had a bad game, everyone's just kind of white knuckling it, sitting there. And as soon as you weren't on the ice for one of the clips, you're like, oh gosh, it was like a little breath of fresh air. Like, okay, I'm not in this one. This is fine. But to answer your question, I don't know if that's ever really thought about. I think hockey is unique because I think it's a very tight-knit culture. I mean, you've known a few hockey guys, obviously being from Minnesota. It's unique. It's the hockey world is extremely small. So I think we do a really good job of insulating and making sure that when you are connecting with people, I know Fran was fun. She did a phenomenal job of connecting with other wives. Postpartum is a real thing that nobody really talks about. When they talk to us when we were pregnant with our first, they're talking about breastfeeding. I'm like, who cares? You just do it. And that was an issue. Not to get too personal, but there's so it's just I think it just adds to my point that there's so much stuff always going on that people just aren't aware of or just don't really give a shit enough to be like, okay, we should probably ask the simple fact of how are you? Like, give the opportunity for somebody to be vulnerable because that's it too. Like, it's not somebody being like, hey, knock on somebody's door, I need help. Create that. If we could create an easier pathway for people to feel like they were in a safe space or just being able to relate with somebody that might, who knows, they might be going through the exact same thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's funny because our workout group is, we've got a pastor who is actually a former NFL kicker. Oh, sorry, punter. He's going to, if he
Oh
hears this, he's
no.
going to,
It's very
punter and kicker is
different.
complete, very different. Yes. Another guy owns his own company. Another guy I work with, another guy, he's a CFO for a big company in town. So it's a, to say the least, it's a very diverse group that we have, which I think also offers a different perspective. So that too is important. Stay, like, get outside your bubble.
Yeah.
Get outside your bubble, meet new people. Don't be, if you don't know somebody, I mean, maybe because I'm in sales, but that's the number one thing is find somebody. You shouldn't be sitting at the table that you know everybody's life story.
Yeah.
You should be out there meeting, shaking hands, kissing babies, or is it shaking babies, kissing hands? Or
It's
is it that
definitely
one
not
wrong?
shaking babies, kissing hands.
But my point is
I think we watch a video at the hospital that tells us to don't do that first one that you mentioned.
be approachable and just give people the chance. Give people the chance to be vulnerable, to offer that insight. So yeah, it's extremely unfortunate, and I have zero patience for anybody that's like, whatever, he played in the NFL, like he should ask, like, get the F out of here.
Yes.
Like, you maybe, yeah, I'll bite my tongue on that one a little bit.
No, that was very mature what you just did. I think what we can take from it is a couple of things that even in your tenure as a hockey player, even though you are the, beer name, old geezer now. No, Dusty Geezer, what's it called? Dusty.
Foggy G geezer, geezer.
You did not just say geezer. And I
Might be
only
geezer.
was
We don't
triggered by
know.
that because I'm trying to teach our oldest how to read right now, and the letter G is a real tricky one. I'm just gonna like leave it at that. I'm like, wait, it's this and it's that, and then sometimes it is silent, whatever. Anyways, I think all we can do is you can't demand somebody to share what's wrong. You can't go up to them and just put it on them and expect them to help you. But I perhaps what we can do to move forward is just to lead by example. And I think by you. By me sitting there yesterday and as you said, like being the actual version of myself, which thank you for validating that. I think it's like important for people to hear that, like not an act or not like a script or whatever on here for no breaks. But also for you as a former professional athlete, like you can just come on and say that that's how it could be in a locker room or what the challenges might be like. And just to be able to say it's okay to not be okay. And to be able to go to somebody and reach out, you have to lead by example. People put athletes up on pedestals, and it should also be as it relates to mental health.
Let's also understand too, that guy was 24 years, 24,
Oh, 24.
24 years old. And I get it. If I was a 24 year old, I'm like, okay, that dude's super mature. But as a 37 year old now, that guy, he was, I mean, he's still a child, like not a child, but
Yeah.
he's young. Like, there was so much stuff that he needed to learn and
Yeah.
experience. And I mean, it's devastating to the sport world, to the world, not even just
Yeah.
football or the Dallas Cowboys. So
It's very eye-opening. The
yeah,
age is very eye-opening. The
for sure.
topic is very eye-opening. There's tricky stuff always when there's like police involved and a police chase and pursuit and whatnot. But I think like the overarching situation is as wildly tragic. And if it teaches us anything about athletes, people that are, whether you like it or not, put up on a pedestal, are humans, this humanized athletes. And also, I think athletes can have a real opportunity here to lead by example and seek help and speak about their problems. And you helped that.
As
You
a,
helped move the needle here today.
we're moving needles. As a parent, do you guys tell the girls, do you guys offer them, like, hey, if there's ever a situation, because that's the other thing, as a kid, or even as, like, put it as a player perspective, as a kid perspective too, like, there's some things you don't really want to tell mom and dad, or you don't feel comfortable whether one of, you're either going to be disciplined for it, be judged for it. Do you guys do anything to be like, hey, here's a safe space, like, this is, if you guys ever need anything, this is where we would go, what we would do?
We're not there yet, I think, with our, because our oldest is six. So, like, we're
Right.
not
She's a
quite,
very mature six,
she's a
to be
mature
clear.
six, but she also
Gets
is
it from her
our,
mom, not
she's our,
listen.
oh yeah, she's our over communicator. She's that child. So, we haven't put any practices in yet. However, a couple things did come to mind, the fact that you asked that in the last 24 hours, which is, I saw something that said, like, when something goes wrong with your kid, you want them to say, oh no, I can't tell dad. Instead, you want them to say, I should go to dad. He would know what to do.
Right.
And like how and what you're asking is like, how do you establish that? And I've heard a lot of different tricks. Like if you write something in a letter and put it in this certain sock drawer and I open it, you're not gonna get in trouble for it. You're allowed to just like say what you want. That's a good one. We haven't landed on that yet, on
Sure, you're not
how
there
to
yet.
create like the avenue for because our each as you know, parenting is so hard for a lot of reasons, one of which is like the overlap of the upbringing is really tricky because like I was raised one way to communicate as, and also it's so nature versus nurture. I was raised a certain way to communicate, but I also think I am a natural communicator, blah, 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 blah. Wilson comes from a family that would be might be vastly different, and he and his nature might be vastly different. And so,
Sure.
what about you guys? Your daughters are older.
Well, and we've got different relationships with each of our kids. And that's, it's a, I don't, personally, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I would love to have the same relationship with all
Oh,
kids, but
that's
it's just a reality
interesting.
that we will not. And I don't want to get into the, it's not bad, to be clear.
No,
It's not
it's
like
just
it's
different.
just different. I
No,
just,
it's I think we already have that established, or it's establishing, and I agree.
right.
Like that's I understand how that can happen.
Sorry, it just sounded bad with the way you said it.
It's different.
I think our biggest thing is we always communicate, I think, everything that the kids have or told us, or if
Yes.
they told us in confidence. I think that's extremely important because we have had the, hey, don't tell mom, or hey, don't tell dad. And to break that trust is tough because I think that's part of it. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're in the understanding and we're in the know of a lot of the troubles and the struggles that they're going through. So we do really try to offer just, hey. And we reiterate, this is not a you're going to get in trouble situation. This is I'm trying to help, and if I can help, I want to help, and I will help situation. So it's just being open, I think, with them. And our oldest is 11 and change. Our middle, she's about to be 10. So we're getting to that age where these girls are starting to have really strong opinions. The social aspect's a huge part of it, because I mean they're both great. They're phenomenal kids. Phenomenal kids. Little Jimmy John doesn't count because that dude's Santa Claus on a
Because
daily
he's Jimmy
basis.
John. I mean, Jimmy John's fantastic. But it's a child or sandwich for him.
But we always try to make sure that we're offering them the ability to not confess, but just be open and honest with us. But we've also learned too that we are not, and we've told them this straight up. We're like, hey guys, we're not your friends. Like we love you and we can have a great time together, but at the same time, like our job, our soul at the core of it is to keep you within the guardrails of life. And if that sometimes means getting down on you or disciplining you or doing the hard things as parents, like it's kind of
That's
like
gonna
tough
happen.
ladies. Yeah. So it's that I just, we never wanted to be like, oh, it's okay, buddy or pal. Like we will have a ton of fun. We do have a ton of fun with them and they are phenomenal kids. But it's also like our job's to raise you the right way and make sure that we're putting you guys in a position of success for your future endeavors and the rest of your life.
You're doing a good job. The final thought on that is that I think, and it ties it all together, what we were talking about before, which is one thing that I've tried to practice. I probably could do it more on a da on the daily, which is like I try to verbalize in front of our kids when I am having a hard time with something. Like even if it's like, gosh, I can't get this peanut butter jar open. I'm so frustrated about this.
Interesting.
Or like,
Sure.
oh, I can't parallel park or like this, this whatever. And so if you say that out loud, essentially it's like you can't, I don't think that you can ask a child or a teenager eventually to disclose everything to you when you don't disclose anything to them. How can the, it has to be in some way, shape, or form a two-way street. So this all goes back and mushrooms into what we kind of mostly talked about today, which is like we have to get to a point amongst people amongst people, just saying like, it's not going great right now, or just practice saying it out loud. Practice even your not that hard at times, because when it gets really hard, then maybe you would have had like the dialogue to be able to say like, this shit is awful and like I need help,
Yeah.
because.
Fran always said, don't bring the game home. Whether you had a good game or a bad game, you do not bring it home. I'm like, you're so, not looking back. I'm like, you're so wise. But she also told me, don't come home unless you score a goal or get in a fight. So I don't really know if it was ever a good thing or a bad thing.
And guess what? He
Keeps
always came
me
home. No, if you always came
on
home,
my
then you would have
toes.
been like, then you would have been the Hall of Famer on TV if that, if you always scored a goal or got in a fight.
What could have been, Jamie? What could have been?
Were you a fighter? Last question, then we have to go.
That was the last question. I've been
Were
in fights. I wouldn't consider myself a fighter. Every fight that I've been in has been out of protection of a teammate or somebody asked me to fight,
Okay. I have so many
which was kind
questions
of
on
a fun
that.
thing. We can save that one for
Okay, let's
after.
save it. Let's save it. That's a good one. Because I do have a lot of questions about the role that fighters play in hockey, because I had to witness some of those, and I know one of them in particular, and I'm just like, dude, how? You're like the nicest person on the planet. But that's for another day on No Breaks with Jamie Erdahl and on Dad Friday, which we got a little bit of Dad Friday in there with Chris Summers. But mostly, thank you for your honesty and your openness and your willingness to speak on a subject in which you are unfortunately an expert in, which is having athletes and teammates and being an athlete yourself go through hard. And that's that. All right.
Thank you for having me, per usual.
You are so welcome. See you next. Oh, wait, next Friday I'm going to be in Madrid. So I need you to get yourself
time difference
some.
There?
No clue. I think maybe 9 or 10 p.m. So get yourself some Spanish wine, my friend.
Oh, I can do that.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Oh, I can do that. Yeah, all right.
Okay. Okay. How do you say goodbye in Spanish?
And I don't even
Ciao.
Want to attempt it because
Ciao?
I'm just going to. I was going to say something quite different.
Don't do it. Goodbye. No Breaks with Jamie Erdahl.